You're listening to Selling the Dream. This isn't an interview, and we're not journalists. But each week, we'll ask our guests to open up and share their secrets to business success. Let's have a conversation and have some fun.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Selling the Dream, our podcast where we talk about sales, we talk about leadership, we talk about entrepreneurship. Today, we're going to be heavily focused on sales. We have a great guest for you today. But before we get into all that, I want to introduce my co-host, as always, Joe Iredell. Now, Joe, you're not on the other coast this time. This time,
no.
You're on the East Coast.
I'm in Pompano Beach, Florida right now.
Pompano Beach. It's good to be in the same time zone with you.
It's less confusing, but I'd rather be back in California, honestly.
I don't blame you, dude.
Not because, for no other reason. Like, I have a business here is great. Medical practice, it's doing wonderful. We're doing great things for people with diabetes, but I would rather be back with my family. So I can't wait to get back there quick enough, but it is nice.
Florida's no California, right?
Florida, it's different, you know.
Different the most politics dangerous in Florida, you got that going for you.
What's that?
Different politics in Florida, you got that going for you.
A little bit, yeah, dude. Yeah. Gas prices, gas is here is two something a gallon as opposed to six or seven, which is nice.
Wow.
So
well, it's good to have you here on the East Coast. And I know you're flying out tomorrow, but let's talk today. We're gonna bring in our guest today. Our guest today is a riot. She's awesome. I'm growing. She's growing. She's becoming one of my favorite people on the planet day by day just because she never, ever sits still. She is always up to something and she's always got a story to tell. So without further ado, I want to introduce the one and only Allison Carbone from KW Collegeville. Allison has been a realtor for and she told me the other day she's been an agent for longer than she's allowed to tell us she's been an agent. But Allison, thank you for hanging out with us today.
Hello.
So Allison, we always play this game on the show called Two Truths and a Lie. So we're going to ask you before I get started. By the way, I never remember to do this in the beginning. I always like.
That's pretty smooth. I'm impressed. This will be a first.
This is the first time I've remembered to do this in the beginning, which is when we're supposed to do it. So kudos to KJ today. So Allison, give me three facts. Two are true, one's a lie. We don't know which one's which, but me and Joe, by the time we're done talking today, I think we'll be able to figure out which one's the lie.
Okay, so ready? You
yes.
do not need 20% down to buy a house.
Say that again?
You don't need 20% down to buy a house.
Okay.
You have to be at your current job for 5 years in order to qualify for a mortgage.
This one's going to be easy, Joe.
I think so.
And there are, two truths and a lie. Wrong, wait a minute. Two truths and a lie. And interest rates went down in the last couple weeks.
We're going to have to timestamp this one, by the way.
Yeah, yes. Compliance requires me to say that, you know, today's...
Oh, sorry. Podcast... You don't tell me the rules.
No, you're good. You're good.
You're good. So, Allison, give us your backstory. You know, what led you to real estate? What was like? How did you end up in this crazy business?
So, I was told that I was going to be a realtor.
Okay.
I had no choice. My mother was a realtor. My sister's a realtor. My other sister's a realtor. So it was pretty much. I woke up one day and my mom said, "When are you getting your license?" And let's go. I started my career at 14 as Tom McCouch's assistant. That was interesting. He is one of the other owners of Keller Williams in Collegeville, and I definitely got a fast forward education on what the next, 30 some, I'm not going to age myself.
Yeah.
My life we're going to look like.
We all know relatively the same age, just to make you feel better.
Yes. Yeah, I just got told somewhere that they thought I was 30. So I'm going with that.
That's what we are. See, I was right.
Yeah. So I didn't really have a choice. And I think since I was a child, realtors were babysitting me. I was left everywhere. So that's kind of how I got into it. It's all I know. I've never had what part-time realtors call real jobs. I've never had a real job. I've been a realtor my whole life. And this is the only thing I know, we just were somewhere and somebody was like, what would you do if you had to get like an actual corporate job? And I'm like, nah, I couldn't do it.
You'd get fired. That's what you
meant. What?
Yeah, I said you would get fired.
I would be fired. Or I'd That's be running true. The company by the time I was done the first day. I'd be like, you should do it this way.
So now knowing that you, it was kind of a path was laid out for you to be a real estate agent, to be a realtor, it was almost a foregone conclusion, but there had to be a point where somewhere along the way you had like an aha moment. Like, you're like, you know what? This isn't what my mom told me I need to do. This is kind of where I realized like this, this is where I need to be. Do you recall any times, transactions, you know, time periods where it, you know, it became obvious to you that this is what you were meant to do?
So it's funny. I want to say my third year in real estate, I had a deal with a woman that I'm still friends with. And she had a very traumatic life story. And against all the odds, I was able to get her into a house and she was able to get her children to her, which was like a struggle because she had to have a house and separate bedrooms and stuff. And I remember sitting at that settlement going, this is why I want to do this. Like, I get to help people. We change people's lives. I don't think a lot of people understand that about this business. Like, this is the largest financial decision that some people make. And I don't think we get to know our clients enough. So I think from that day, I've become friends with all of my clients. So I have lots and lots of friends. I'm tired. I'm trying to just keep up with everybody. But I think that's when I think my career changed and I've taken that through my career that I actually listen. Because that was pretty cool. I sat there and I was like, wow, you know what? I changed this woman's life and I changed her children's lives because they were in a bad situation. So I think that's when I changed my outlook in real estate and I decided that I want to help people, which I think you know that I'm always out there trying to find another way or another because I think it's so much more than real estate. And I'm lucky I got that at a very young age. I saw it and I don't think I'm fortunate that I got to get her as a client. She's still a very, very good friend.
That's really cool. And it's so fun because the knock is, right, we were hearing it during the whole NAR conversation where people were, in my opinion, there was an awful lot of dialogue, an awful lot of stuff out there devaluing what an agent, what a realtor does in a transaction. Oh, all you got to do is open a door and you want to get paid 3%. Like it's just, you know, it's so much more than that, that people don't understand that goes into what you serve, the service you provide and what you, the value you bring to, you know, to the transaction. Share for some, believe it or not, you think me being in a mortgage business, we would have had a lot of it, real estate agents on our show. We don't have very many real estate agents on our show. So tell us a little bit about what is the value? What are some of the values that real estate agents bring to the transaction, whether it's the listing side or the buy side? Why are people glad they hire you instead of just doing it on their own?
Well, I think the biggest thing is I listen. I actually try to figure out what you're doing. I don't just try to get you out and look at houses right away. And I agree with you. During a lot of the chats that were on Facebook and Instagram and, you know, your realtor doesn't do anything. There is no, when I have agents come onto my team and they're like, I want to learn everything this month or next month. You can't. Every transaction has something different that happens. There's so many situations that come up. And if you're not versed in real estate, and this is sort of kind of what I'm doing right now with the scams and stuff, there's so many things that can go wrong that you don't find out until like a year later. You buy the for sale by owner and you find out that you use their title company that was like a friend and you have a lien. I think if you use somebody experienced, and not saying anything wrong with new agents, I love new agents, but I think I offer something to my clients because, you know, the nose knows. Like, I can walk into a house and be like, do you smell that? hey, that does not look right. I've been in enough homes to know that that's not right. Yeah, can you buy a house without a realtor? 100%. I'm never going to try to tell anybody that you can't do it, but you gain something from a realtor because there might be something that you miss that we add to the transaction that when you're done and you get to settlement, you're like, wow, I feel comfortable. You're not walking into something. I wouldn't go and try to do your job. I don't know how to do mortgages. You know me. I hand it right off. I'm like, I never talk numbers. I'm that stupid. But it's, I tell people use an agent because you never know what kind of situation you're going to come into. You never know who you're dealing with on the other side. And buyer agents are important. I don't think that NAR kind of shared that. I think they kind of tried to say that buyer agents weren't that important. We very much buyer agents are because, you know, years ago it was seller agents and now it's buyer agents. And buyer agents came around for a reason. I mean, I remember when you looked through the book for houses, there was no MLS. And there was a lot of lawsuits and stuff because the selling agent was taking care of both sides of the transactions and we got buyer agents.
Yeah, because you can't serve two masters. Like,
So let me ask this, because I've heard this throughout the years, kind of behind closed doors, almost conversations. So like in every market, is there truth to the fact that the top producers, the top realtors in each market will more likely show or recommend a buyer of an agent that's also a seasoned agent, right? So is it kind of like, we'll take this offer because we know this buyer's agent is going to get the deal done quickly without any hiccups, as opposed to showing a house with someone who's a new agent? And, you know, is there a lot of that that goes on between the top agents in every market?
So the unofficial answer,
right,
that we're at a bar answer is, of course, you see it everywhere. I mean, people go to doctors that have been in the business for 20 years instead of a doctor that's been in the business for a year. You know, I say this all the time. I actually printed out an agreement of sale the other day. I was at Keller Williams and Bluebell and I printed it out. I'm Keller Williams in Collegeville. I was like, can I print this? I graded it and sent it back to the agent with a D-. I don't look at how long you've been in the business. I look at your agreement of sale. Is your paperwork right? Because I know some rock star first new agents who went through the training and I'm like, wow, you know what? They're going to do whatever they can do to get this deal done. And then, you know, you have your agents that you've known for 20 years ago. She'll do whatever it takes. Like, this is definitely going to settlement. I've seen her. She's crazy. People have said that about me. Like, she'll do whatever it takes. My biggest thing to that is, yes, it absolutely happens everywhere. Do you know what I mean? Agents, no agents. The older agents, they're great. They send over an agreement of sale. It's perfect. We don't have $1,000 deposit and you have to call them up and be like, I want 5% or I want at least $5,000. You know, some of the agents even put like the book number and page number where it says tax ID. I look for that. Cause that's why I'm like, okay, they're old.
Yeah,
school.
That's not someone who's just, you know, going through the motions, you know?
I would say if you're talking to agents, I think that's absolutely, I hate to say it, I think that's absolutely happening. But when I look at something, I'm looking at, do you have a BFI? Do you have a pre-approval? Like, don't send me an agreement of sale without a pre-approval. Did you fill out the mortgage, mortgage commitment is now in a new spot. Do you know many people send agreements over with no mortgage commitment or a mortgage commitment 60 days out and we have a 60-day settlement? So that's the stuff I look for.
Because it's indicative, Allison. It's indicative of someone that doesn't do enough transactions. These are like mistakes made by people who aren't doing enough transactions.
From a practical standpoint, and like let's take you out of the equation. Let's speak in like colloquial or, you know, whatever, like hyperbole here. So if I'm an agent and I'm showing houses and there's three that we can see today and I can only get to two of them, and I know that two of these houses are listed by agents that are on top of it and one's an unknown, the chances are I'm going to direct my clients to houses where I know that the deal will go smooth. Correct?
So you got some here.
Hyperbole, of course.
I really cannot answer that question, only because the broker's my sister and she will beat me. But if I had two friends that had their houses listed and one I didn't know, I'd sure so show my friends' houses. So in a way, I'll give you an example that'll keep me out of trouble because, you know, I'm watched by a fine tooth comb. I have friends, they're buying a house for their kid. I went and showed the property. I have shown them 15 houses, like no lie. Okay. And I mean, I'll be showing a house and it goes pending while I'm there. And then I saw a listing that was listed by a realtor I've known for 25 years. And I went, let's go see this one because you're going to get it. It absolutely helped that I know this agent. We've done 15 deals together. We worked at the same office. I was able to call her and go, you do know that I'm never going to let this deal fall apart. So what you're getting at is happening. Agents that have been in the office, in the business for a longer time, they're selling more real estate because we know each other. We know the lender. Listen, the lender is huge. If I get like Rocket Mortgage or somebody from Cal, I got a deal from a Noble Mortgage in Florida.
Noble Mortgage.
Noble Mortgage. You know, the first thing I do is tell my sellers I would ask for another pre-approval because this isn't a brick and mortar company. I can't drive down the street and shake the mortgage lender if there's a problem. So I think that matters in agreements of sale. And how you write it. I mean, home inspections, do a deductible. Like, we're going to do a home inspection for our own knowledge, but we're not going to ask for anything unless it's over $5,000. Every agent should be doing that right now if you're even marking a home inspection.
Yeah.
Because the sellers don't want anybody nitpicking. We're over nitpicking. I think in this industry, you're never going to see, like, that light switch doesn't work. Okay, well, you know what? I'm going to put my house on the market and sell it to the 10 people standing behind me.
I also think, Allison, that it's a nature of the cyclical nature of the business. Like, that's where we are right now, you know, but there was a time, you go back to 2011, 2010, when inventory was at an all time high, right? So now everything changes. The listing agent strategy changes, the buyer agent strategy changes, the benefits of, you know, your reputation still matter, regardless of the cyclical nature. And I said this to an agent today. It's not what you did today that's going to get, especially you're in a multi-offer situation, and the listing agent looks at your name, and they're like, you know what, Mr. or Mrs. Seller, this offer might be $500, $1,000 less than this one over here, but I know this agent's reputation and integrity, and that will close. I know this lender that will close loans or that will close transactions, you know. Within reason, regardless of price, and it's all built on your actions 10 years ago, 9 years ago, 8 years ago, and not in the moment. I think the reputation is huge in the real estate business.
We were at this event, and I met another realtor, and of course, I'm on our team. I'm terrible. And we were talking about a realtor we both know. And he said, you know, I got this offer and do you want to look at it for me? He's a new agent. He's like, I just have heard really bad things about this realtor. And I got to tell you, my brain went to, okay, there's like 5 or 6 in this area that he has this listing. And, you know, sure enough, it was one of those agents. And I told him, I said, you know, it's a well-written offer. You know, you don't want to like discriminate against his buyers because you don't like this agent, but ask for a better pre-approval, ask for a buyer financial, do your due diligence, make sure like shorter mortgage commitment time, more deposits. So yeah, reputation matters in this business. And I have to tell you something, you can lose your reputation as a realtor in 30 seconds because right now everybody's bored.
Everybody's what?
Bored.
Bored, okay.
Listen, there's not enough houses to sell. You're going to the office and you're trying to find buyers. You're trying to find listings. The water cooler talk is so high right now. And everybody's looking for a reason to talk about you. So this is the time to like keep your nose clean, the old expression, because everybody's talking because there's not enough business to go around. And what do realtors do? They got to go into the office. They talk.
I'd be in trouble, man. I'd be in trouble. I don't know.
It's I'm seeing it in the office and I'll walk by and be like, don't you guys have something better to do? Like make phone calls. And nobody even knows who to call because I mean, until the rates like come down, you got to find the serious buyers and they're out there.
Yeah, they are.
You're going to be meeting people and the old stuff's not working right now. We're not recreating the wheel. Your sphere of influence is huge. I keep telling people that you're, and then you don't have to like, I mean, your clients then know you and hopefully they know what you need to do, and they're going to write a good offer because they've done this already before. A lot of the new buyer, I mean, I had a buyer the other day, is like, I want to give a $500 deposit. I'm like, yeah, you're not getting that house.
I want to parlay move the conversation to the next topic. I want to go one level up from real estate, and let's talk about sales in general. Joe and I have a history of sales. Obviously, before I got in the mortgage business, Joe and I both sold Yellow Pages advertising at a time, which was a ton of fun. And then before that, it was children's books and coffee over the phone. That's actually how I met Joe. We were selling coffee over the phone.
Some people still have that coffee too. We sold a lot of it. They're probably ready for some re-ups.
So in sales, you know, what drives you? It can be a grind right now, for instance, for real estate agents, it's a grind, but in sales in general, what's your go-to when you really feel like you just don't have anything left in the tank? How do you build yourself back up? How do you re-energize?
So it's interesting because it's hard. I mean, this business, it'll eat you up, spit you out. And the different cycles that we go through are crazy. So it's funny that you said that, because a week ago I was like, I got to do something, you know, it's slow. So of course I bought 4 cases of Girl Scout cookies and I put them in bags that said, you know, sweet treat for the sweetest clients ever. And I put a little newsletter in with some lemon drops, cause I bought lemon cookies, and I drove around and I delivered them to all my past clients, and it got me 2 listings because wow. My neighbor's selling. Oh, wait a minute, hold on, a girl at my work. So I, you know, it like I always say, we're not recreating the wheel. Your best referral is from somebody that knows you. So these agents that are like, oh, I'm going to get a dialer and call strangers. Yeah, good luck. It's not working right now. Everybody's saying that. Like the cold calls, we're tired of them. The attorney general's office, just robo-dialers now come up as spam.
Yep.
As spam likely. So no one's answering your phones anymore. If you have a robo-dialer, just cancel the subscription because you're done. And I just learned that today at that training I was at. So, and it's going like everybody, every mojo dialer, everything is now going to be coming up as spam dial. If you do more than 20 phone calls at one time, it's going as spam likely. They just passed that. So your sphere of influence, your parents' friends for new agents, your friends of your friends, ask for help. Don't think for a second I'm not going to all of my past clients. I just called a hard money lender I know a week ago, and I was like, Bill, I'm like, I need help. I need some listings. And 2 days later, he had a client call me. So I think in this business, you can't be afraid to ask for help. And I think a lot of agents are afraid to ask. If you're good at what you do and people respect you and you ask for help, I mean, you know, that's the oldest sales call in the world. Hey, can you help me? I mean, if I called you right now and said, hey, I need help, can you try to find a way to help me?
Absolutely.
Instantly, you would be like, what do you need? So call your friends and family.
Joe would be like, I'm sorry, who is this?
Oh, you froze.
That's not true. I help everybody.
No, you were gone.
So let me ask you this. With regard to, you know, looking forward, looking ahead, what does, Joe, I'll ask you.
Okay, wait.
What does success look like 5 years from now for you?
For me?
5 years from now.
Okay.
5 years from now, I'd say for me, exit from one of my companies right now. I'm looking to sell it. I want $1 billion valuation. And that's what I, so 5 years from now, we'll execute sale of my company.
That's Allison, what does success look like for you 5 years from now?
Now, who knows? I mean, I'm always up to something. So, I mean, I could be sitting on a yacht 5 years from now, walkie-talking you to the other yacht on the other side. Like, I've no, in real estate, I went 5 years.
You're muted, Allison.
Oh, sure, muted.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, there we go.
I was talking about us being on a yacht you know, walkie-talkying each other. No, 5 years from now, I would like to be at the point where somebody on my team is taking over and I am called for listings and literally just writing the paperwork. That would be success for me. I mean, my mom's 81 years old and still selling, so I have a feeling in 5 years.
Wow. I don't think you're going anywhere.
Yeah, she's a... She does all of the compliance at our office for 250 agents. So I have a good gene. Hopefully I have the, and I'm going to be doing this. I mean, my sister's still doing it. Like we're all, I can't imagine. So 5 years from now would be being able to step back and enjoy some more time doing everything remotely, helping my agents. I mean, hopefully in 5 years from now, Madison's taken over. She's a rock star. That's my goal.
She's talented. She is absolutely talented.
Yeah. I got lucky.
All right. Last question before we get into the two truths and a lie. And you already gave some good stuff. So, but I'm going to ask you if you could give one piece of advice to someone just starting out in any sales, not just real estate, but any, it can be real estate. What's the most valuable advice you could give?
Learn what you're selling. And that's hard because real estate houses are different, but know your target audience. If you're a new agent, I'm writing a book about this. If you're a new agent, just remember when you're going to other offices, you're interviewing the broker. They're not interviewing you. They'll take anybody. So
that's good advice.
So when you walk into an office, interview the broker. Don't just walk in and think they're interviewing you because you're an independent contractor. So interview them, ask the right questions would be my huge. And if you're new, join a team and interview a team and learn from somebody who's been doing this. Even if you stay for a year or 2 years, be upfront and say, hey, listen, this is going to be like a part-time thing for me. I'm going to come in for 2 years and I'm going to go out on my own. Real estate is, it is, there's so many moving parts. Don't try to learn it, especially when you're helping someone make the biggest financial decision in their life, get help for at least the first 6 months to a year. It would be my advice.
I love it. All right, let's finish up your two truths and a lie. Joe, Allison gave us three facts. Let me recap, if I'm not mistaken. You don't need 20% down. You have to be employed for 5 years, and interest rates just went down. Which one's the lie, Joe? Which one's the lie?
What was the second one? You have to
be employed for 5 years to get a mortgage.
We know that that's not accurate.
No, I had somebody ask me that the other day. A lender.
I almost got a mortgage because I was sending pictures from.
You should have put photos. Is that how you're making money?
We did a prank call with Mason. God rest his soul. And it was pretty funny.
I'll have to send it to you. We pranked him during COVID, and it was a riot.
I pretended that I was like a not a bodybuilder, but
yeah, you were a bodybuilder, and you took pictures.
He said, "How do you W-2 or anything like that?" And I said, "No, I just take." People ask me to pose and take pictures, and I send them the pictures, and they Venmo me the money. And they said,
"Listen, do you know that like it's a real job, like selling foot photos and stuff? Like you guys need to put that in your repertoire. People are making a lot of money from
you
these. Like,
it's
a real job now. I mean,
oh, I'm aware. I could. I live in Southern California. I have some interesting neighbors. So,
Ken, that call's coming to you." I'm not kidding. I met her today.
Hey, as long as you can document 2 years tax returns, I don't care what you sell.
Exactly.
There's a market. Right. There's a market for it.
Allison, yeah. I appreciate you hanging out with us today, especially battling through the you're at an event. You're always on the move, but you're on your phone, honoring your commitments in spite of the chaos. And as always, I appreciate your time, and I'm really glad you hung out with us. Hopefully you had fun, and hopefully you'll come back.
Absolutely. And it was nice meeting you.
Yes.
And the foot girl is going to be calling you.
Thanks for listening to Selling the Dream. We know you don't want to miss a single episode, so go subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts. And then make sure to share the show with your friends and leave us a review.